Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, none other than Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Voyager. You know, I saw a commercial for, like a promo for Star Trek Discovery, and they say in the window, they're looking at all the ships, and they go, oh, look at the Voyager. See, so even they say it.
Yeah. They do. They talk about the Voyager.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the way to do it. You know, it just sounds weird though to me. I know it's proper, but it sounds funny.
I know it bothers me.
Yeah. So I've been in the middle of COVID testing like crazy. Just to tell everybody, I actually went and worked on a Amazon show that I'm doing last night. I was filming last night. So three days before, I had to have a COVID test to make sure I was okay. And then of course, when I got on set, they take your temperature and do all that stuff. And then now I have today off, but I'm filming again tomorrow. So I had to drive down to LAX to take another COVID test that gives me the results within one day, just before I go in again tomorrow. And what was weird is when I got there, they told me to take off my mask and use one of their masks. Cause they said, well, we don't know if you've sanitized your mask or not. I'm like, oh, okay. So it was just like, what? So literally the entire time that we were filming, unless the cameras were rolling, like when we were in rehearsal or blocking, we still had to wear the masks. It was really very strict. And I know you've also gone through all that protocol yourself with finishing up Resident Evil. Resident Alien. Everyone's
a little evil.
Was it evil?
Yeah, well, he was an alien trying to kill all the humans. So I guess it was a little evil. Resident Alien. Yeah, the protocols on set these days. I mean, I think back to like before COVID on set and how things were. Yeah. Like back when we made Voyager.
Yeah.
The Voyager. You just didn't think about any of this. I mean, the health protocols in general in filmmaking have gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we started Voyager, you could still smoke, I think, on the soundstage. You could smoke in the fire lanes on the soundstage. And then right around the time we started filming Voyager, they said, nope, it's got to be outside. That was a big deal, like in the 90s. But people used to smoke on stage, which was a fire hazard among other hazards.
Definitely.
You know, the stunts and safety and all of those things were like, you know, good luck. I mean, I even know now, like when I start a new TV show, because these are big corporations, big studios that are making the shows, they have corporate policies that involve sexual harassment training. So you have to, everybody on the crew, including the cast, has to come in and learn about bias or sexual harassment or any of those things. You have like a whole 2-hour training or 3-hour training where they talk to everybody. None of that was part of the culture of filmmaking back when we were starting on Voyager. So there's been a lot of changes, and now COVID, of course.
Yeah. And the COVID rep literally was standing like right when we were done with a take, and when they were like, okay, we got that. I mean, this dude was standing there going, masks back on. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very hardcore. The funniest thing about filming last night was that the scene was a lot of emergency vehicles. So police cars, FBI cars, everything was there. So there's a lot of these sirens, you know, or these lights, these flashing lights that they had going on.
Yeah.
And they also simulated flashing lights with, I guess there's like an LED panel that you can program to look like the lights of a police car, which, you know, which is pretty recent when they've introduced that new technology where they've been using that. But at one point when we were right about to do a take, we had a helicopter that came by and it just started circling around us. And I think it's either it was a news helicopter or it was a police helicopter. And they thought that we were a real altercation going on. Right.
Oh, so that's funny.
So they were sitting there just circling and circling. And I was like, oh my God, how much longer? And I guess they were using their binoculars or whatever. And they're like, right. Wait a minute. It's the guy from Star Trek down there.
That's very funny.
Or that's a film crew. And so they left. But that was the funny
part. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, man. So
what's our episode this week?
Yeah, this week it's Dreadnought.
Okay.
Yes.
Dreadnought. I'm excited. I remember the title. I feel like I remember the script cover. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I can picture Dreadnought on our script cover.
Yeah. It's an interesting name, you know. I think that's the name of one of the runs at some East Coast ski resorts, like the
really?
They name all the runs at every ski resort, right? Uh-huh. Like, okay, this is you're going down Alpine, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then this one was called. There was one called Dreadnought. I remember that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of Dreadnought. I'm like, oh, okay, that's actually a name used for a ski slope, exactly. All right, so. All of you listeners, thanks for tuning in. We're going to go ahead. Robbie and I are going to go and watch Dreadnought and come back with our recap for all of our Patreon patrons who are tuning in. Stay tuned for What Do We Remember?
See you soon.
Hey, guys. We are back from watching Dreadnought.
Dreadnought. Yes, we saw it. By the way, I just want to be honest. When I went away, I had to go get a power cord for my computer because I broke it in the middle of this podcast. I realized I had broken my power cord for my computer. And so we were kind of dead in the water. We were dread not in the water.
I see what you did with that. See, now when you said broken power cord, I immediately assumed that meant watch the Georgia football game is what that meant. So I was like, power cord.
No, it was
Playing right now. They're tied. They're tied.
I know they are. They are. So. Georgia, my football team this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2020. It's COVID. It's not a great year for anything, for anybody. Definitely not a good year for my college football team. So,
Yeah, and that's across the board for like everybody, and especially those who play fantasy football, such as myself. I play in two different leagues, and it's been difficult because of the COVID designations of certain players and the injuries. Without a preseason, where most NFL teams take the preseason games to sort of work the kinks out and really kind of, you know, figure out what's going on and kind of just shake the rust off. They didn't have preseason games. So all these injuries are just coming across. Like if you look at a team like the 49ers, good Lord, they lost like half their roster and you're sitting here trying to cheer for your team or your fantasy team players that you have. And it's just been difficult. It's been really, really tough. So, but Dreadnought, I looked up the word. Did you look up Dreadnought? Dreadnought
is actually. But go ahead, tell me about it.
Well, it's sort of it refers to a name of a naval ship, actually. That's one definition of it. Just came up as a naval ship, and I thought, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. And what was the other thing that it has been so long since I looked this up because of this long break. That
getting my power. It wasn't my power cord. It was the plug that goes in the wall that the cord attaches to. I had broken because I'm so manly and strong. Literally plugging a plug into the wall. I can sometimes break it. I think that's probably.
Mr.
It's
Paris,
not really what happened.
Okay.
It's not really what happened, but I'm going to go with that story.
I found what I was going to say. Okay. The historical definition of dreadnought is a type of battleship introduced in the early 20th century, larger and faster than its predecessors, and equipped with entirely with large caliber guns. I can't speak English right now. And then the second term, the archaic term, it's a heavy overcoat for stormy weather. So if it's if it's bad weather, someone can say, are you wearing your dreadnought? So that is another definition of it.
Okay.
Written by Gary Holland, directed by LeVar Burton.
By the way, I did a few impersonations during my watching video. Yeah, I did.
I
dove into some impersonations. So for the patrons on Patreon, you'll see some of our watching of the video there. Our patrons get some of that. And you'll see some of my impersonations there.
I'm excited.
We're
I'm
in
excited.
A little competition.
I got to be honest. One of my favorite parts. We are in competition. You're in my territory, buddy.
I know.
I have always really enjoyed our video reactions, whether, you know, I'll watch yours. I impersonated you in one, actually.
I know you did.
Very low kind of, you know, kind of reserved delivery.
I impersonated you in this one. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So just you wait.
Oh my God. I can't wait to hear it. And this is a feature that, that our five, at their, what would you say? Was that our ensign tier? No, it's our lieutenant tier.
Lieutenant tier.
Yeah, it's our lieutenant tier on Patreon gets and above get to see our video reactions to the episodes, which are, have always been really, really fun.
It's a lot of fun to interact with the video. Yeah,
for sure. Can't wait to see that. So directed by LeVar and two guest stars or multiple guest stars, but two of my favorite guest stars. We have both Nancy Hauer and Rafael Sabarge on this episode. Yep. Yes. Okay. Here's a quiz for you.
Although Nancy is in one scene.
She's in one scene. And she mentions, that her husband is Katerian. When is the last time that you heard Katerian? That's going to be my quiz to you and everybody else out there. Yeah.
The Katerians would never do that.
That's later, buddy. Why are you bringing up? That's a spoiler for the future.
Katerians would never do that.
Okay, so the trivia question to everyone out there is, before this episode, what episode is the alien species Katerian mentioned? The answer is non sequitur. The episode where Harry goes back to Earth.
Oh, yes.
In another reality.
Yes, that's
and he's
right.
with his girlfriend, Libby.
Yeah.
And he's talking to her and she's saying, "You're not my Harry. Why aren't you like the Harry that I know?" And I was like, "I'm the same guy. I'm the guy that was sitting in your seat at the Katerian music festival." So evidently, this is how Ensign Kim, Harry Kim, met Libby. He was sitting in the wrong seat at the Katerian Music Festival. Yes, yes.
Wow.
There you go.
Good detail there.
That's some detail, big time.
So LeVar Burton directed,
Yes, yes. And that detail, that trivia that I came up with, I had so much time while you were getting
my
power cord, that I was able to do this.
By the way, Georgia Bulldogs are up. 24.
Are they up?
Yeah.
Okay. So they scored a TD. They scored a TD. All right. Go Bulldogs. Go you say dogs. Go dogs? I'm
go
sorry.
Dogs.
You say dogs, right?
D-A-W-G-S.
You never put the bull on front, right? It's just go dogs.
D-A-W-G-S. Dogs.
Right. Not D-O-G-S. That's dog. Your dog is dog is D-A-W-G. You got to say dog. Y'all know what time it is. It's dog in the South.
Bless
and that's how
heart.
We talk about it.
Bless your
heart. Bless his heart. Anyway, we could talk Southern all day long.
We could.
No problem. You're from North Carolina. I'm from Tennessee. It works out just fine. Where are you at? What scene are we at? Briefing room?
Yeah, let's start from the beginning. So Nancy Hauer is having a baby.
Yes.
And I thought it was very interesting that that Kes's father was a great inspiration in her life, which we've never heard that before.
No, we haven't.
I thought that was very interesting. And then the doctor gets jealous.
That is so weird. How does he experience jealousy? It's just like you're a computer program. You are Microsoft Windows. You're not supposed to be jealous. Why?
No. he kind of gets jealous. And Kes is like, well, I have an uncle. You could use his name. And the doc's like, no, never mind. Forget it. And he's just so negative. Like every name that Nancy Hauer brings up, he's like, no, that was a, you know.
Yeah. Nope. That was an evil dictator.
Exactly.
And that was a, yeah.
It's horrible. I thought that was really funny. But then it's funny that opening scene almost has nothing to do with the rest of the episode.
Yes.
Like nothing. No connection. We never follow any of that story, the Doc jealousy story, any of it.
We learn of Ensign Wildman's husband's name, though.
Yes.
It's Gris Kendrick. What a name. Gris Kendrick.
Yes. I couldn't make it out as I tried to pause it, go back and listen again. And I was like, I don't know what they're saying. It's a complicated name. But I get the point. It's a big complicated name.
It's a big complicated name.
Yeah.
It's like a Welsh name. It's just like it's so. What is that?
Chris what is Kendrick? The? Are there letters in that name?
There's like 17 consonants back to back to back to back is what that is. Gris Kendrick. Okay, so we know that little bit of backstory.
Yep. There. We come out on the bridge. There's some debris out in space. A Duritanium hull should have been strong enough. On this ship, they say that they're picking up a Duritanium hull, but it's been blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
Cardassian weapon signatures they find. Yep. And
Robbie, we've jumped the gun. We usually do our synopsis before we even start anything. So our synopsis as in our limerick and haiku.
Yes.
How funny the limerick, the Irishness, and you're from that. And then the haiku, the Asianness, and I'm from that.
Okay,
so
let's pause on the bridge. We find some debris out there in space. Let's everybody hold your
thoughts.
Experience.
Okay.
Let's go back to, I'd like to start with your haiku first.
Oh, sure. Okay. Here's my haiku for Dreadnought. Dreadnought haiku. Here we go. Missile malfunctions. Torres tries to disarm it. Last gasp saves the day.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. All
right. Thank you so much. All right.
I think that's very elegant. I think you capture a lot of the emotional experience of the episode. My limerick is going to be a little more clumsy, but it's okay because limericks are tricky with all the rhyming they have to do. There's rules.
Oh, lay it on me. Okay. Come on.
Here we go. Here's my limerick for Dreadnought. B'Elanna creates a weapon to kill the enemy. It has a surprising identity. She talks to herself while Janeway sacrifices her health, and a phaser shot is the ultimate remedy.
Yes.
That's my limerick.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah. Rebecca helped me with that one, actually. I was stumped on this one.
Wait a minute. Are you now subcontracting your limerick now?
If I have limerick, if I have rhyming troubles, I will reach out to, ask a friend. Is that what they said on the?
Yes. You called a friend.
Call
a
friend.
Sure.
Yes.
The day
I reached out to Rebecca.
All right. The day that I reach out to Megan to do my haiku, I'm gonna hang up my cleats on this.
Okay.
One. I'm just gonna leave the entire. Yeah.
Okay. I just need to be transparent here. I was stumped on this one, and there was a little bit of rhyming help. That's all. This was a team effort.
I appreciate your honesty. Thank you for sharing that.
B'Elanna creates a weapon to kill the enemy. It has a surprising identity. She talks to herself, and Janeway sacrifices her health. And a phaser shot is the ultimate remedy. By the way, yes, in my limerick, when it gets to the end and B'Elanna's, and I know I'm jumping to the end, but she's in the core, the engine core of this weapon.
Yeah.
And she's firing a phaser. I'm like, that's it? Like, that's how we... I don't know. I'm jumping to the end, but part of me is like,
what?
That's it? Okay.
Yes. But you subcontracting out part of the limerick to Rebecca makes me just flash forward to like when we're reviewing season 7 episodes. We've gotten so lazy that it's just Rebecca and Megan doing this entire podcast.
No.
They're just sitting there.
No, I would never want to miss out on the opportunity of watching an episode. But
But
the limerick sometimes, I gotta be honest, the limerick, the rhyming rules of a limerick are a little challenging. Yeah. But
I agree.
I'm up for the challenge.
Okay. Okay. And you know what we can do? I know you're up for the challenge. We can also do reverse week at some point where I do the limerick and you do a haiku. You know what I'm saying? So we can look into that, right?
All right.
Okay. So where do we pause everybody at? We paused everybody at the...
They find some debris.
Yes.
Floating in space.
Correct.
And it's Duritanium hull, they say. Should be strong enough for any weapons, but the weapons that blew up this debris have a Cardassian signature.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize at first they think Seska might be responsible, which makes sense because Seska's out there with the Kazon doing
and she's Cardassian
crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's Cardassian. But B'Elanna steps up and says, nope, that weapon is mine.
Right. Which everyone watching is like,
it's weird. It's weird, by the way. How did a weapon from the Alpha Quadrant end up here? But it is.
Twilight Zone-ish, really.
Yeah. And by the way, so we go to the briefing room where a lot of this gets explained.
Yeah.
Why do I run in with my hair sticking up in every which direction? Like, really?
That made me laugh so hard when I saw you. I was just like, look at his hair. I don't even remember shooting that scene. I'm just thinking, look at you just coming in all disheveled.
Disheveled. But by the way, I liked it. I got to say, I was like,
you like why can't that?
Harris be disheveled all the time? Like, why did he have to have the blow dried hair in, you know, perfectly hairsprayed and all? I would have loved the disheveled hair.
You could have been the pig pen of Voyager. Sort of like Charlie Brown and the pig Brown. Pen's always messed up.
Right.
Yes. And pig pen begins with P and Paris begins with the letter P.
I should have had messy hair.
You should have had messy hair. But the funniest thing about the messy hair is at the end of the briefing room scene where Chakotay dresses you down, basically, right?
Yeah.
And he tells you.
Another awkward moment with Chakotay. There's been a couple.
Yeah, but the thing is, he says two things. He says, you need to be on time and you need to be properly dressed. And I'm like, what? He is properly dressed. It's about the hair being all like, it's all over the place. Because I felt that, and before he even said that line, I kept thinking, his hair's messed up, but his uniform's perfect.
Perfect.
And it would have been funnier if you were missing elements of your uniform,
or if it was unzipped halfway.
Askew. Yeah, exactly.
I think in the later, not to jump ahead, but later with B'Elanna, she says something like, look at you, you're a mess. And I'm thinking, not really. Like, my hair might be a little less hairsprayed, but other than that, like the uniform looks fine.
It looked fine. Maybe if you'd come in without the mock turtleneck and you just had the outer jumpsuit, well, that would have been funny, you know?
Yes.
I mean, something, but it didn't happen. It was just your hair. So properly dressed, it seemed weird. He should have said, I want you to be on time and you need a look professional is what I would have said, meaning your hair is like everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, the beginnings of the Torres and Paris relationship, you owe it all to Janeway. Janeway is the one who assigns Paris to work with Torres on this whole thing.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because you would think it would be Harry is working on some. You know,
I agree. Why is Paris down
there? Why is the pilot going down to work over there, right?
I agree.
Yes.
And by the way, when they get in engineering and they're talking and Paris is like, what's up? And she admits that, you know, this weapon, I programmed this thing and she goes, I didn't tell Chakotay. And she goes, I didn't tell him, I did it anyway. And then all of a sudden, she says something like, you know, Chakotay, in his soft voice.
I have it. I wrote it down.
All
he said in that damned soft voice of his. And I felt, she still got the hots for Chakotay.
It's not happening for Paris yet.
No, it's not happening for Paris.
She's still stuck on Chakotay. She likes his soft voice. Gross. That's what I was like, gross.
That's so middle school of you. I love it.
Gross.
Yeah. So gross.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can we just go back a bit for a second? Before we jumped from the briefing room to engineering, but back to briefing room.
Yeah.
We know now that this missile is a self-guided tactical missile and that it is unstoppable. So that's what I would have put in the dictionary definition for dreadnought. Unstoppable.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to where we were.
All right, so we're in engineering.
And we have backstory with Paris, right? A little backstory there. You fought with Collins about something.
I know. You know.
And so as much as you feel bad and gross about that damn soft voice line, your little fighting with Collins, there's a little twinkle in B'Elanna's eye when she looks at you, kind of sort of like a look of familiarity, like, hey, you're like a rebel and a fighter like I am. You're the human version, male version of me.
With his soft voice.
Soft voice, exactly. He's more of a lover than a fighter, and you're a fighter.
Exactly.
And she's a fighter. So there's
the beginnings.
The beginnings.
That's the beginnings.
Little peep of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see.
And by the way, I say in that scene, Paris says in that scene, he says, I'm the one who's been wrong about a lot of things. What did he mean by that? He goes, I'm the one who's been wrong. I was very confused. Like, it was very heavy and loaded the way that I played it. And I was like, what have I been wrong about?
I don't know. I'm not sure either.
I wish that I had not played it so heavy because it seemed like overkill because nothing else happened in the episode that was.
So how would you have played it? You would have played it like really jokingly?
I've been wrong about a lot of things. Like,
okay, so it's just a throwaway line then.
Yeah,
okay.
I wish I'd thrown it away, but instead I was like, I'm the one who's been wrong about a lot of things. I don't know.
Is your do-over. You've already gone to your do-over, right?
I'm not going to say that that's my do-over, but I'm going to say that that's my do-over. Okay.
Okay, let's move on. We have a quick scene with Naughty Michael Jonas, played by Raphael Sabarge, doing his spy stuff. Naughty boy, talking to it. A new Kazon now.
Yeah.
He had a different Kazon rep.
Now there's a middleman, and Jonas can't seem to get to Seska directly. And so we're sort of setting up like, are there Kazon factions? And
Well, he's never been able to get to Seska directly. Been a middleman, but this is a different middleman. He's got a new middleman. It's like the other guy got fired. So, he has a new middleman.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Janeway, back on the bridge. Janeway is now speaking with the Rokosan First Minister Kellan, which I couldn't hear.
I
had to rewind that
actor,
over again.
By the way,
Keller, Kellan, Kellub.
Kellan, I think.
I'm going to say Kellan. Yeah. You like Kellan?
I like this actor a lot. I thought he was really good, by the way.
He was more subdued. He had
he was very grounded and very real. Yeah. And I liked his
more
whole,
of a damned soft voice is what he had, you know,
arc.
Kind of. He had
more of a
Chakotay vibe going on.
Yeah, he had a Chakotay soft voice vibe.
Soft voice guy.
As opposed to the rebel fighter.
Right.
Like B'Elanna in Paris.
Yes. Now, did you notice while she's talking to Kellan on the view screen, there is that shot. The camera is basically on the view screen, but you do see Janeway in the foreground.
Yep.
And the back of her bun has a hole in it. It's like, what are you doing? Like, it's a hole, the kind of hole that you look at when you watch when the weatherman,
like a donut hole.
It looks a lot like when they're doing the weather and the guy goes, and we've got a hurricane here off the Florida coast. And as you see, the eye of the hurricane is that hole like
it's
that,
like
and everything else is swirling.
The hurricane
it
the
looks like the
of
eye
bun?
Of the hurricane, the back of her head, at the back of her bun.
Wow.
Exactly. Or she has her own black hole. In
the
her bun,
basically. The bun really had a personality of its own for the first
couple. It really
of years.
Did. It really
Every
did.
Every episode, the bun of steel seemed to change.
A mind of its own is what it was. The bun of steel became the bun of hurricane, eye of the hurricane. So that's what I noticed. I'm shocked that you didn't see that small detail.
I did not
there,
see that.
Okay.
I also thought it was interesting that this alien, Kellan?
Kellum. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that he again says, oh, we've heard about your ship, Captain. You guys are aggressive. You're trouble. You have a reputation.
I
thought it was interesting those first couple of years that we were developing a reputation in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
Like, if they were all talking to each other, why weren't we part of that conversation? Like, why weren't we saying, hey, we're from the Alpha Quadrant. We just want to get the heck out of here. Like, you know, why weren't we in conversation with all these people who seem to be gossiping a lot about Voyager?
Yeah. You notice that reputation that Voyager has is pretty much the reputation that Paris has. Troublemaker,
exactly.
You know, doing all these things.
Yeah.
It could have been the USS Paris, you know, instead of the Voyager.
B'Elanna goes over. She beams over to the ship. And I got to be honest, I found it very distracting at first that B'Elanna was talking to herself. That, like, at first I was like, wait a minute, this is weird. Like, the whole concept, I just found it very distracting. It was hard to kind of buy into the story.
Yeah.
Like, Roxanne is hearing her own voice. And by the way, I was very impressed that Roxanne was able to do so much of this episode. Probably with Cosmo Genovese, our script supervisor, reading the lines off camera.
Yeah.
This was not, you know, what she ended up hearing in the episode was her own voice, but probably 99% likely is Cosmo, our script supervisor, was reading the lines off camera for her at the time. So she really did a great job with sort of interacting with so much of this episode was her own voice.
Well, my take on her hearing her voice as the computer voice on the missile was not, I wasn't annoyed by that. I was more impressed by it. Like, I kept thinking, she has a really good computer voice. Like, she could do it. Like, she could do Major Barrett's computer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be interesting if Roxanne came back like in Discovery or something like that as a computer.
Oh,
voice.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found it really interesting, this whole idea of a smart weapon, that this weapon has adapted itself. Obviously, it becomes a big part of the plot, but, you know, sort of adapted and improved itself and is willing to question every move. I thought the smart weapon idea was very interesting and also very, very relatable to where we are these days. I mean, you know, obviously this was season two, it was 1996. There was probably drones were first appearing, drone weaponry, things like that, smart weapons, remote missile technology. So this idea of artificial intelligence combined with weaponry, combined with the ability to evolve and adapt is a very scary combination. You know, this whole premise, I think, is a very scary combination, because we do have this artificial intelligence that is, now this episode's 20 years old, but yet it's very current, you know, that these kind of weaponry, things like that could develop their own priorities, their own decisions.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem that far-fetched when you're watching it now in 2020, when you watch this, you're like, okay, that definitely can be, you know, the future of missiles in our world. Right. Mm-hmm. So I agree on that one. I like the fact that the missile called it the Delta Quadrant Deception.
Right.
I thought, man, that's a good name for something. I don't know, a band, some type of a book, autobiography. I don't know, the 12th. And next on stage, the Delta Quadrant Deception. I just like that word. We have Type 6 photon torpedoes. Did you know that we had Type 6 photon torpedoes?
They talked about that in this episode. I did.
You are so smart. I'm like, we have Type 6, because we try to use that on the missile and it really didn't work. So Type 6 is kind of lame.
I also thought it was interesting that hearing Roxanne's voice as the computer of the weapon and the back and forth between Roxanne as B'Elanna and Roxanne as the weapon, the chess match that was going on was really fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think it would be interesting to see. My guess is that Roxanne filmed her film part first and then went in and looped in post-recording editorially the computer voice. So she was having to sort of react in this chess game that should have been a back and a forth and a back and a forth. So this idea of sort of tricking it or outmaneuvering the weapon, outmaneuvering Roxanne, you know, B'Elanna outmaneuvering the chess match with a weapon. It's a very delicate little balance. I thought Roxanne did a great job.
She did a great job. And really, I don't think any other character in all the episodes of Voyager had to act with their own voice like that.
Exactly.
A very unique episode. The fact that it is Roxanne's voice that she's acting off of, I suppose. And it's just so, it's different, you know, and only in sci-fi will this happen. Right. So I liked it.
I did find, I gotta be honest, as the episode went on, this weapon was so skeptical of B'Elanna from the get go.
Right.
That part of me was like, why is the weapon allowing her to survive? There is, at one point, the weapon does say something like terminating humanoid life, you know, support or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really terminate it because she's got oxygen. I'm just surprised.
It was taking it away, though. It was slowly taking the oxygen away.
Slowly taking it away. But part of me, even B'Elanna says in the episode at one point, she goes, well, I'm surprised that you're still, you know, allowing me to survive. Or I'm surprised that you didn't kill me.
Yeah,
I sort of agree. Part of me is like, if this artificial intelligence, this computer really thought that B'Elanna was a threat, on that very first zap from the panel that she pulls off, I feel like, why didn't the weapon just take her out? Like, if it really thinks she's a threat, it would kill her. It would electrocute her or something.
It almost
have an episode, but it's kind of weird. Like, why is the computer continuing to allow her to make moves in this game that the computer thinks B'Elanna is trying to trick it?
Well, I hear where you're coming from. And to me, the way I justified that, I kept thinking, well, she's kind of like its creator in a way, right? She changed the programming. And so it looks at her as a parental unit or something. And it's sort of like, I still respect you. So I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to zap you. And I'm going to tell you the next time you try to do it, I'm going to zap you harder like that. Yeah. I'm not going to just eliminate you because you still kind of like made me who I am today. You know, I am the missile that I am because of you, Torres. So, you know,
And maybe by the way, just a little pause in the specifics. I, as we're watching this whole series, the first couple of seasons, I'm realizing, you know, this idea of a female captain, of a female character with such strength and intelligence like B'Elanna playing a Klingon or a half Klingon. Mm-hmm. B'Elanna had a lot of really great stories early on.
Yeah.
Like I didn't remember that. So I'm happy to see that. Like, I think Roxanne did a phenomenal job, looking at some of these episodes that we've watched recently, like mm-hmm. the character B'Elanna had a lot of real estate to sort of develop and explore and grow. I thought it's real fun to watch. Yeah,
definitely. And to further that thought, my memories of just the overall filming, I always felt that we didn't really get cooking until season four. You know, I felt the first three seasons were just like, kind of meh. But there have been some really cool episodes, that's for sure. So it's really nice to be able to finally see these all over again. The decision that Janeway makes to sacrifice the ship.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
Not just the ship, but her life. Yes. And then the next decision for Tuvok to say, I'll die with you. It's sort of like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. And not only Janeway deciding to sacrifice herself and Tuvok offering, but on the other side, B'Elanna willing to sacrifice herself. You've got these two strong female characters willing to sacrifice themselves. And B'Elanna's talking about this hypothetical situation game. She's like, remember when we used to play the hypothetical situation game? Let's try that. And I thought it was funny. She was going, let's play a game. And at one point she gets really mad at the computer. She's like, it's a game. Remember the hypothetical game? And I was like, B'Elanna, like nobody wants to play the angry game. Don't. I was like, maybe make it a fun game instead of the angry hypothetical game.
Yeah. When she was about to pass out because she was losing air, I kept thinking, why can't they just beam over an oxygen tank to her? That would have been easy enough once we're able to establish a lock again and communications, they could have beamed something over, right?
Oh,
to
help her
breathe. And I didn't, some oxygen over for God's sake, So I don't know. That to
the
me was
fact boring. That the fact that Janeway was willing to get escape pods for the crew. By the way, all the human male dudes, including Paris, were just like, sure, I'm out of here, Captain. See you later. Good luck. Like the Vulcan's the only guy that sticks around. It's basically like Janeway.
Okay. This is, you're
and
right.
And everybody else is like, yes, ma'am, I'm out of here. Right. Chakotay's out of there. Everybody's out of there.
You're right. And the way I justified that was I felt Tuvok is already like, what is he, like 190? He's like really old.
Yeah, he's a couple hundred.
He's old. So he kind of like, I've been around for a couple of centuries. It's okay if I die now. Kim's like 22. So maybe we should. Okay. I'll do the dying. So that's what I felt.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Both women are willing to sacrifice themselves. None of the human dudes. By the way, Kate's like, transfer all helm control, all ship control to the con. And she sits down. She is a good pilot, by the way. Like, did you see that move she makes when she leans? Like, she's like, just as the ship, the weapon sort of detonates and we beam B'Elanna back. She's like,
yeah, she does that banking move.
She does that banky move. It's pretty nice.
That was evasive maneuvers. Omicron 6. That's what that was.
Omicron. The old Omicron,
The old Omicron maneuver. and what did you tell her? You're like, hey, the starboard, what did you said something like that.
The starboard
nacelles or something are sluggish or something. I was like, he's giving her little tips on how to maneuver the ship right now.
Okay. Yeah, that was a moment where she was giving the order for abandoned ship, warp, like starting the warp core breach, and she was staring at Paris as she said it. And I was like, why isn't there a shot of Paris like reacting to, oh my God, you're doing this.
Yeah, they missed
it. It was
that.
Just sort of this long push in on her, but she's staring right at me down front. And I was like, man, it seems like there should be a reaction cut, but.
Yeah, we should ask LeVar. Why LeVar?
Why LeVar didn't you shoot a reaction shot of Paris? She's staring right at him.
Right at him. But then maybe they didn't want to have that sort of
breakaway from the captain's big
moment. Or maybe it would have suggested too much like relationship stuff with Paris and Janeway.
Yeah, and Paris, like, and clearly Paris and B'Elanna are a thing now. Like, it's clear.
It's so not a thing, but it's okay. It still should be. Hey, she still called me Starfleet when we were in engineering. When we were in the, I'm beaming her back over and now I'm the transporter chief. And she says, okay, let's try it again, Starfleet. And I kept thinking, it should be me. It should be me, not Paris. I kept thinking that.
I know. I know, Garrett.
Oh my God.
All right. So, and ultimately, B'Elanna and Janeway are both willing to risk their lives.
Yes.
To risk everything to save these millions of people on this planet. And and B'Elanna is the one just sitting in a little tube, firing her little phaser at the weapon. That's what it comes down to.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Like she's in a little tube.
Yeah.
And remember when she was moving in that tube, she was on her back, like going back. It just looked so funky when she was moving backwards like that. I was like, oh, not on your stomach. You're on your
back. Remember filming in some of those tubes and they were very claustrophobic sometimes. You get in there
and uncomfortable.
Very trapped. Yeah. Yeah. And the material they used to build the floor was very like sometimes pokey. It would poke in your back. It was not very comfortable.
It was not good at all.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you have any other notes on this episode?
I think that's it. I really enjoyed it, though. I have to say, I really did enjoy this episode. I thought Roxanne did a great job.
Yeah,
she loved that it involved everyone. I thought our guest stars were also really good.
Agreed.
I think it was, I mean, from a sci-fi point of view, I thought there were a lot of unanswered questions to me, honestly.
Well, what would you say theme was, though? Because I had a bit of an issue figuring that out. I was
say for me, the theme was, I wrote it down here. The theme of this episode is be careful of your dreams because they can sometimes backfire on you.
Meaning
like, you know, B'Elanna had these dreams of this weapon that was going to solve all her problems. And in the end, it came full circle and she had to deal with it. You know, she developed this weapon. She sent it off on a mission without Chakotay's approval. She did all this on her own. And in the end, she had to sort of deal with what she created. So be careful of your dreams. They can backfire. Nothing is free, I guess. I would go back to my original. Like,
instead of be careful. Yeah, instead of be careful of your dreams, be careful of being like, what would you call her doing that without Chakotay's permission? It is a what kind of move that she makes? She made a
rogue.
Yeah.
Rebellious. It's
The word I'm searching for is when you do something on a whim that has no thought behind it. You
spontaneous.
Just do it. Be careful of spontaneous
choices.
Yeah. Yeah. Decisions. Be careful of making decisions that are not, that you don't think through. Like if you're just impulsive.
There you go.
Careful of, instead of your dreams, be careful of being overly impulsive because that decision may come back and bite you in your ass. That's perfect.
That's
the thing.
Better said than,
you like that? Instead of dreams, like impulsive. Yeah.
Yep. Impulsive choices.
Look at that. We found that together, Robbie.
I like that.
It was Kim and Paris all over again.
All right. This was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in next week when we review Death Wish. And that's not the Charles Bronson movie. Death Wish, the episode of Voyager.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you next week.
See you next week.